Everything's bigger in Texas.
Texas is a land rich and plentiful, no doubt target rich, and it's proven to be one of the country's most sought out destinations to hunt wild game. This hunting culture is much more than that of only what an antler score can produce. It's a culture driven by family, values, and the trophy itself is embedded within the experience. This is the voice of Texas hunting. This is the Texas Trophy Hunters Podcast.
Welcome to the Voice of Texas Hunting Podcast. My name is Cody. I am with my buddy Heath, who is fiddling around with
you hear that?
Yes, I hear it. He's messing around with the new Sig Cross 6.5 Creedmoor that we just got that we're going to be using on a lot of the storyteller hunts this season. Heath, we didn't get to do a podcast last month because we were at the
extravaganzas.
Yeah, the Hunters Extravaganzas. We did do a lot of things. We saw a lot of products, and we'll talk some about that today. We did do, you have got to put the gun down.
This gun's amazing.
It is. And I do think we should talk a little bit about it later, but
do
not
you hear
right
that?
Now.
Listen, everybody listen. You know what that symbolizes?
What does that symbolize?
Silky smooth.
Silky smooth, the 6 hour, 6.5 Creedmoor
Cross.
Cross.
It is a sweet rough. I'll put it down though, Cody.
Okay, good.
Sorry for the distractions.
But we will talk about that a little bit later when we talk about Storytellers episode season two in the episodes that are coming out in a little bit about that gun. But first, I think we should talk about Hunter's Extravaganza because it just happened in August. We didn't get to formally record a podcast because we were all over the floor,
right?
Doing all kinds of stage presentations with SCI and Gary Robertson, Mike Reber, and then just tons of people. Dr. Deer. We had a lot of fun at the Hunters Extravaganza, so I want to talk about that. And then
when are we going to talk about the BDX system in this gun?
What are you, two?
It's like I'm like a little kid in the Texas Trophy Hunters Podcast studio.
Yeah,
this is I'll quit. I'll quit looking at it.
Yeah, so don't look at it. Let's talk about Hunters Extravaganza first because we just had 3 weeks of Hunters Extravaganza.
Would you describe it as controlled chaos? Or just chaos?
No, I would call it controlled because absolutely. Christina, Lauren, Jennifer, the whole team over there, I was with them this year. You know, Dallas was a new venue for us this year because of some scheduling conflicts and things like that, which we talked about a couple months ago. But there was a little bit of challenge getting in and out and things like that because it was new.
Right.
And I was so impressed with how the team handled it. I mean, all of them.
I agree. When I was there, I felt like the girls had it so together.
Yeah.
They were chill, calm.
It's incredible.
Neither one of them had babies this year either inside them.
That's true.
Nothing in the oven this year. So they were a lot calmer.
Yeah. I thought they were calm even pregnant.
Well, for being pregnant, they were.
Yeah. No, I thought
they did do a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
They really did.
So I would probably call it controlled chaos because there's always, you know, things that happen and changes that have to be made on the fly. And they do very, very good. The whole
and they're in that business. They're in the people business, so you're dealing with lots of vendors and booths and space and when you're dealing with people, often you have a lot of frustrations or whatever. And I never saw any of that at the show I was at. And so, kudos to the girls, man. They crushed it.
Yeah, their whole team is incredible. I'm glad that we get to be a part of what they're doing. And so, Hunter's Extravaganza was a blast. Houston was fun. I mean, we don't not have fun anywhere we go, right?
If it ain't fun, we ain't doing it.
We have fun just about everywhere we go and everything we do. But I love those events. I love all that they represent, what they're doing. They say all the time, this is the kickoff to hunting season, and they're not wrong. Just a few weeks after the last Hunter's Extravaganza is dove season in Texas and really all across the South. And so it is kind of the kickoff to hunting season. We saw lots of cool products, talked to a lot of cool people who started new things this year.
Yeah.
Lots of people who it was their first year at the shows. And it was busy, man. Like, there were people everywhere.
Let's play a game, Cody.
Okay, let's play a game.
Flip the script.
Okay.
I think I should interview you. Okay. You spend all this time on podcasts interviewing people, other people. Yeah. I think I should interview you.
Okay, so interview me like we're at the Hunters Extravaganza.
No, I didn't mean like that, but you say being a part of it like you're just a fly on the wall. You're a pretty big part of what goes on at that event. You're technically the MC for the event.
I mean, if that's what you want to call it.
I mean, I like throwing titles around. You're an MC for the event.
I'm just part of the team. I do what Christina asks.
Absolutely, and you do a good job of it. But from your perspective, this is year two for you now.
Yeah.
So what would you say really stood out? It was just amazing. I mean, you interview a lot of people, but from a 30,000 foot view, what stood out to you that was awesome?
Well, I would say, you know, obviously we're in kind of a crunch economically. It seems like, you know, mm-hmm. things are more expensive. Gas is more expensive. You never know what's going to happen when that goes place. And so takes place. So for me, I would say from the bird's eye view, looking at Hunter's Extravaganza and really any outdoor, any kind of retail show, you would think gas prices, all food prices, all that stuff's really going to affect attendance and things like that. And so I think for me, the thing that I was most impressed about was the sheer number of people that still came out and still purchased a bunch of, I mean, stuff was going, like I saw people walking around with bags everywhere. And so I think that, you know, specific to our industry, the hunting industry, like people are passionate.
They really are.
I think that's what I think would be the big thing for me is, man, people are passionate about the outdoors that are in the outdoors. And so I heard that through vendors. Mm-hmm. I heard that through people who were just there shopping. I heard it from people telling stories about the deer that they hunted and killed, you know, like people who cook, like people are passionate about the outdoor industry. And so at those three weekends, you know, you see that. And this year in particular, you don't know what the attendance is going to be like because of all of the increase in pricing of just natural life.
Yeah.
And to see so many people at Houston, so many people at Dallas, a brand new venue mm-hmm. for us this year, is just to see San Antonio. I mean, it was like shoulder to shoulder for several hours.
I would echo that because I had that thought before the shows as well, just due to previous shows outside of Texas Trophy Hunters, the Extravaganza with ATA and some things, other shows we attend that actually were down.
Yeah.
And so I don't know the analytics behind numbers of what actually who came and went, but I know when I was there, it seemed like it was packed.
Yeah.
And the vendors I did talk to was like, Heath, this has been an incredible show.
Yeah.
Our sales have been up. And so I was pretty impressed with that. So I think just to play off of what you just said, our industry is passionate, but it's almost like Texas is a whole nother level of passion behind hunting. Because people, there's plenty to do in life.
Yeah.
Entertain yourself or whatever. There's lots of ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But to have these three shows back to back and see the attendance and the families out there and the kids having fun and the alligators and the snakes and the bungees and everything that was going on.
Yeah.
For entertainment there, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, and to even further dive into that passion, you know, one of the things that I've gotten to do the last 2 years at the Extravaganza is interview these people who create these products.
Yeah,
and you know, of course, we only have a few minutes, you know, sometimes five max or so, to do these interviews, to talk about what they're doing at the show and what their product is, but people don't see what happens before the camera starts rolling and even after.
Yeah.
Like the people who design these products, one, they're smart.
Yeah.
You know, two, I love that they're taking their natural, you know, interest. Like I interviewed one doctor, eye doctor,
mm-hmm.
who took his passion about being an optometrist and applied that into the product that he had designed so that it would make hunters better, you know?
Wow.
And so I heard that over and over and over again, like all of these vendors who were creating products were doing it out of not just, I just want to make money. They were doing it out of a love for what they do and a love for other hunters, you know, and helping other hunters be more successful. And so
that's cool.
The passion goes more than just the, you know, just the overall industry. It dives deep into why these products are even created, you know. I mean, I talked to the gator guy for hours one night. Like, I was trying to go to bed and he caught me going up to the elevator and he like talked for hours about catching gators and taking care
just
of them and just I mean, eaten up with what they do. And it's not just, you know, the few people we talk to. It's all across the floor. People love the outdoor industry and they love helping hunters be successful. And that's why I think these shows are such a big deal.
Absolutely. And then the whole the kids aspect of it. I mean, from a larger scale, it's a proven fact. Hunting numbers have been going down for several years, you know. And so I love what Texas Trophy Hunters is doing to play their part and accomplish the role of keeping young people engaged in the hunting industry.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, or if Texas Trophy Hunters doesn't, and other similar organizations, then who's going to?
Right.
You know? And so I know for me and you as well, we want our kids and grandkids to enjoy what we've enjoyed growing up.
Right.
And so I love that part. It's at a deeper level, but somebody's got to do that. And you see that there. You see the excitement with the kids and wanting to hunt and shooting their bows and their pellet guns or whatever they're playing around with, you know.
You know, one of the we develop a ton of content at the shows, you know, from photography to videography. I mean, tons of we got hundreds and hundreds of gigabytes worth of content over those 3 weekends in August. And we had some really awesome looking photos, you know, like really creative video clips. But there was one photo that I loved more than any of the ones that I have looked at to this point, and it was taken by a family.
Took
a picture of four generations of their family all in Texas Trophy Hunter hats, you know, like just on the floor. They just snapped a picture of all of them wearing the same hat, you know, little kid all the way to the, you know, the grandpa, four generations.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that speaks to what you're saying.
Yeah.
We've got to continue to breed this love for the outdoors in our kids and in our grandkids. And beyond that, people who don't hunt yet, you know, like, just people, you know.
Well, it's hunting and these shows are a part of hunting. Even when we're not hunting an animal there, but it's a part of what we do from a perspective of when we go on hunts and we go with our friends and our family, it's not really so much about the deer and how big the deer is. And it's more about the memories that are created when you're out in the field with the family and with the friends. Just like the same thing could be said for the extravaganzas.
Yeah.
It's about the memories you create with your people,
right,
you know, when you're out there. And so it even plays into storytellers. That's the whole thought process behind storytellers, is to communicate the memories of the experience.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just going and shooting something.
Yeah.
And some people get caught up in that, but at the end of the day, it's really about what are you going to take home that's going to live with you forever besides
what's the
animal?
Story?
Yeah, what's the story?
What's the story behind it? What, like you said, what will you remember? Is it hunting with your dad or hunting with your kid or... I guarantee you almost every person I've talked to about a hunt in their lifetime, one of the things that they always mention is I was with so-and-so.
Yeah.
We were at, so, you know, and we did this. They talk about the hunt, but there's always that element of who they were with.
I've heard this over and over, and I do it myself. If you come in my living room, and I've had people ask me about certain deer that's on the wall, and I've heard of seen other people do this, but you're right. Every single time, I can remember every detail of it, but the first thing that comes out to who I was with.
Yeah. I mean, I've done that at your house. Me and Jeremiah, me and B.
Me or Charlie, whoever.
Yeah.
This is what happened. And we got a deer, but the story beforehand and after it is what we talk about the most.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's good. So let's Hunter's Extravaganza was awesome.
A huge success.
And people probably don't know this, but the planning for 2023 has already started taking place.
Yes.
Like, I've seen emails, I've read things about 2023 already happening. So this is a big deal for Texas Trophy Hunters, for Texas, and really beyond that, like, all of the, we have people from all over the place that come to these shows. And so
hold on, I ain't finished my interview before you transition. I have one more question.
Okay.
I might have more if we keep going, but, and then we'll end up on a gun probably in a minute talking, but what is the recovery time for the MC?
Oh, Lord.
Or would you say, you could probably speak for Lauren and Christina as well and their team, what would you say the recovery time is like after 3 weekends in a row?
Well, I will say this. I talked to Lauren and Christina after the San Antonio show, the Monday after the San Antonio show, about things we were working on.
So not much.
I think we had conversations on Monday after San Antonio, on Tuesday after San Antonio, and then Wednesday, Christina said, we're going to take Wednesday off or something like that, you know. But like I already mentioned, you know, the planning already starts, you know, like the ideas, the debriefs, the talking to all of your team members. What was a success? What wasn't a success? Yeah. What can we do better? What should we change? What should we add? You know, all of those things. And I know that they're all always thinking of that, but it doesn't wait until 6 months before the show.
The best time to do it is right after, while it's fresh. Yeah.
Now, real recovery time. I feel like for the MC, every year I should go to Mexico the week after.
This year,
you know, we did 3 weeks in a row in Texas, and I wasn't there all week like the Trophy Hunters team. I got to come in Wednesday most weeks and then leave Sunday a little earlier than they did. But the week after San Antonio, I was back at our office, you know, doing, catching up on graphic stuff and doing, you know, what we do here. But then on Saturday that next week, my wife and I got to go to TRS in Mexico, Cancun. And I'll tell you something, like, I typically am not very good at not working.
Right.
But when you sit on the beach and people bring you chicken wings and anything else you want, it is awesome. And so this year, I would say this is probably one of the first vacations or rest weeks or holidays or whatever you want to call it,
right,
that I
shut down,
successfully shut down a lot and just rested and focused on, you know, spending time with my wife, you know, because it was our 20-year anniversary trip, and focusing on resting so that I could come back and,
that's cool,
you know, put the steam on the train and keep going down the tracks. But so I would say that for me, that was a really good recovery, having that the week after.
Well, I know it was much needed for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So if I didn't have that, I probably wouldn't have had much recovery time.
That's funny.
Does that answer your question?
I'll stop interviewing now. I just had a few questions that I needed to get off my chest.
Well, I'm glad you
for
did.
For the podcast host.
I hope that you found the answers you needed.
I feel much better.
You know, at the Hunters Extravaganza, episodes from season one, we're playing at the 6-hour main stage.
Yeah.
All day long throughout the day, mixed in between all of the seminars that we had with, like I said, Mike Reber, Dr. Deere, Gary Robertson. We had several guys from SCI talking about, you know, the importance of conservation at all the different shows. And in between all of that, we had, you know, all of our partners. We had commercials from all of our partners. But one of the things that people I saw as the MC who also helped host the stage, I saw so many people grab their food and sit down there and then watch the episodes of Storyteller Season 1. You know, Season 1 was awesome. But we're on to Season 2 now. The first episode actually launched on Waypoint on the 17th, which was last weekend, and it was awesome. So I know that you and I both were actually at the filming of the first episode with Josh Kinzer from Big and J, one of our partners, and his daughter Hattie. And so let's kind of just talk about season two a little bit. We got to film several of those episodes, but let's kind of knuckle down on that first episode a little bit and talk about that.
6-Hour over the years has become one of the most renowned firearms manufacturers in the world. A company born in Europe, but perfected right here in America. Here at Texas Trophy Hunters, when it comes to choosing a firearm, or even ammunition for that matter, SIG is an easy choice. SIG has something for everyone. Whether you need a pistol, a rifle, a suppressor, or even optics, they've got you covered. If you're listening to this podcast, there's a strong chance you're a hunter. And if that's the case, you absolutely want to check out what SIG has to offer when it comes to rangefinders. Nothing on the market today comes close to the ranging speed, distance reached, and extreme accuracy of SIG rangefinders. To learn more, visit SIGSauer.com.
There's a lot of history there with that, which is part of what we look for in an episode. When we're not just trying to plan a hunt just to say, let's go hunt, but we're looking for stories and storylines that we feel like can reach an audience that wants to partake in those stories, you know, or at least feel like they can relate to them. And so Josh has been a part of Texas Trophy Hunters in the past and still friends with everybody, but is now the marketing director at Big and J. And we've been friends with these guys for a long time. And so for all of us, family is huge for us. It's important. And as I've previously mentioned, it's important to keep our kids involved in the outdoors. And so having Josh G2 Ranch with us and his daughter Hattie was super special. Again, it goes far beyond the harvest in that episode.
Oh yeah.
But getting to see her on the ranch and see all the animals and
yeah.
and play with the everything there is to mess with around there.
Yeah.
It's sure entertaining.
So we were actually, you and I, and I can't remember who all was there, but I know you and I were there when Josh and Hattie first got to yeah. the ranch, and we got to go, you know, see the room that she and Josh were going to stay in,
yeah.
and just the sheer excitement on her face, you know, and you can obviously see that in the episode, but I love it when you see a kid,
oh, yeah.
you know, and all that they experienced.
And, well, and G2 is not your normal place. It's not, I mean, and she's hunted a lot, and Josh yeah. has his own ranch in South Texas. And so she's seen a lot, and anybody that's ever been to G2 knows what I'm referencing when you walk in that place. It's a little different than just your normal
yeah.
hunting camp,
yeah.
you know? And
yeah.
so she was blown away from the time she pulled yeah. up and opened her bedroom door. She yeah. was like, whoa.
Yeah, whoa.
It's yeah. been a fun week.
One night she babysat all of us. Like,
yeah.
We walked around from activity to activity. She told us, what we're going to play putt-putt now. We're gonna shoot the BB guns. We're going to go hit golf balls. You know, like. Yeah. She got to experience all that kind of stuff, yeah. and so it was really cool.
Yeah. Well, I think even on the larger front with storytellers, and I mentioned G2, but we're looking for that experience that turns into the story, obviously, and
yeah.
and G2 is a part of that, but it's not the average of what we even look to do as far as hunting. We want to include ourselves in a lot of different environments,
right.
and different hunting scenarios, different lodges, different camps, whatever we can do in Texas.
Yeah.
And so that one just sticks out because it's the first episode. It was an awesome episode, mm-hmm. and seeing her excitement, and then again being in camp with the crew from Texas Trophy Hunters, and then all of the people that work at G2 is just incredible.
Right.
Just servant-hearted people, and they run a top-notch organization as well.
Absolutely.
And so I think for me, and I'm just the narrator guy, but getting to be
hold on. You're the voice. Let's make it.
I don't know about all that.
The storyteller himself. Didn't you run into a guy last year after season one aired who actually said you're the voice of storytellers?
Maybe. I don't remember.
I think you told me a story about that. You're just downplaying it.
No, I don't know. But but I love getting to be a part of the stories from yeah. If it's telling it or whatever. But seeing the different ranches, the different locations, and then obviously at the end of the day, it's all about the people.
Right.
But to this point, everywhere we've been, the people stand out even more than even as incredible as G2 is, the people yeah. behind the scenes are what make that experience yeah. incredible.
You could, I mean, again, this is a bigger picture, but you could go to G2 and never put your hands on a firearm and just hang out with Don and Sandy
yeah.
and all of the people that they've put together and have yeah. a blast.
It's like a resort.
Well, I mean, even I would even say you could take all that away
yeah.
and just have those relationships, and it still would be
yeah.
that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And it's not just G2. Like when we hunted the orcs last season,
yeah.
you know, like hanging out with Dylan and Trapper yeah. and that whole crew, like it was instant conversation, yeah. instant relationship, instant
yeah. And then other parts network. In Texas we've hunted and not even had a camp to stay in,
yeah.
but we're hanging out on somebody's back porch.
Yeah.
That's just the people of Texas, you know?
Yeah.
And so that is what sticks out to me about storytellers from last year, and even then moving towards this year, except
yeah.
at another level. We're looking to add extra episodes this
yeah.
year.
Yeah. Last year we did 6. This year we've already got 8.
Yeah.
Either filmed or being filmed this year.
Yeah.
So there'll be more episodes that'll run all the way up to Christmas this year, right before yeah. Christmas. So
yeah.
every 2 weeks.
Yeah. And I think they're obviously on Waypoint, which we love Waypoint, and they're on Carbon as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So they'll actually, all episodes, this is how it's going to work. So our first episode aired on Waypoint this year, the season 2, on September the 17th, which was last Saturday at the time of this recording. And then the next weekend, it's going to air on YouTube and Carbon. And then the following weekend, the next episode will be on Waypoint. And it just
keep
so
rolling.
Every week, if you miss it, you're going to get to see it on a new platform where you can go back and watch it on the old platform. And it'll take us all the way up to, like I said, Christmas. Every 2 weeks, we'll have an episode. So,
awesome.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, it really is. Storytellers is incredible, man. Just the people, the obviously the animals are amazing too. They're different
yeah.
everywhere we go. Some exotic, some whitetail. I'm sure we'll get into more, but it's a pretty cool thing to get to be a part of at a small level.
Absolutely, 100%. So let's talk about the gun that you've been messing with that you have successfully put down and not said anything about for a while. Pick it back up. Go ahead and run the bolt. Do
so
your thing.
So smooth. Trigger is incredible.
One of our partners is 6 Hour with the podcast and with the show here, and they have supplied us with this cross rifle. Their newer hunting firearm, the SIG. This one's a 6.5. But tell us a little bit about it, because we're actually going to be using it in all of the episodes that are firearm related to film. So this one in particular is, like I said, it's a 6.5. And it's got the BDX.
That's what I was going to say. It's got a foldable stock on it, and then this comes with the BDX system. This setup we've got, which I actually was in Wyoming, and you were too.
Yeah,
not too long ago with SIG at the SIG Hunter Games, and their entire celebrity list they had competing there at that event was all using this rifle with the BDX system. And so the BDX system, basically, if you don't know, it basically Bluetooths to your rangefinder, mm-hmm. and it sends that information from your rangefinder to your scope. And then it basically tells you where to need to hold. It's almost cheating.
Yeah.
Not really, but it's pretty incredible technology that SIG has implemented into this system.
Right.
And so it's a super smooth shooting gun. Everybody at that event was blown away. I personally haven't got to even shoot it yet. I'm kind of messing around here with it right now. But as far as actually having it in the field, I haven't personally got to do that. But I've seen it in action.
Right.
And been around people that have used it for 3 or 4 days in a competitive atmosphere. And when we were in Wyoming, we got in all kinds of weather.
Yeah, it was rainy,
snow. Rain. We were hiking through the mountains and put it through the works. And to my knowledge, I don't know how many shooters we actually had at that event competing, but there was a bunch.
Yeah.
And to my knowledge, there was not one misfire or one hiccup throughout the entire event. So SIG obviously builds incredible products, and they have a lot of military contracts, but they are getting into the hunting space, which I'm super pumped about because we love quality products.
Yeah, and we've gotten to actually talk with some of the people behind this firearm.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they've told us over and over again is we do have all of these military law enforcement contracts and all that kind of stuff, but at the core of it, our people hunt, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's cool to see them bring that technology that they have made for these agencies that really need that technology into the hunting markets to make us more successful.
Even when talking with one of the head guys, Tom Taylor there at SIG, he's basically told us, he's like, we put the exact same execution of manufacturing these products into these guns as we do for the military. So obviously you can think, just to put it in perspective, how important are the weapons that are produced for our military.
Yeah.
They're pretty important.
Right.
And so to think you've got that kind of staff behind this same process behind this is pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. We were at the facility there and they were telling us that every week they fire over 1 million rounds.
And we heard them, I think.
Yeah. Like right on the other side of the wall. 1 million
Non-stop.
Rounds of test, you know, test ammunition through each, you know, like not each gun, but through all their guns, 1 million rounds a week they're shooting
because
they want to put out the right product, you know? And I think that goes back to how we started the conversation. I think it'd be a good way to end it is people who are in the outdoors are passionate.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, one of the things that Texas Trophy Hunters is all about. Like we bring passionate people into the family, you know? And so,
very cool.
Yeah. So
SIG makes some great products, man. I think when we were there at the factory, Tom was telling us, I believe SIG has over 3,000 employees now, and they did a survey, and over, I don't know if it's 50 or 60% of them, don't quote me on it, but it was somewhere in that ballpark, or they found out we're hunters.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, it absolutely makes sense that we're in this space.
Yeah.
And so, man, as a hunter myself, and I'm predominantly, I've been a bow hunter for years.
Yeah.
And have gotten into rifle hunting more in the last, 4 or 5 years, but I am pumped about it because I love quality products. I know you do as well.
Yeah.
And I know the people that are involved with Texas Trophy Hunters do as well. We all like great products.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to be in the field and know we can depend on whatever our choice of weaponry is.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
And
for
so sure. I'm pumped about it, man.
Well, good. We're excited to use it on Storytellers this year and get to take it out. First of all, we get to take it out and make sure it's all zeroed in.
It's a great idea. We should go right now.
Let's go
sight this gun.
Yeah, we'll get it. You know, we got our first filming with Hunt to Film using that particular firearm in at the beginning of November. So we got a few weeks, but
awesome.
Maybe we should do it every week leading up to it, just to make sure.
Just to make sure. It's a great idea, right?
But yeah, no, we're excited about season two of Storytellers. That's airing right now. We'll be through the rest of the the fall here, and just want to encourage you to go check it out. If you haven't watched season one, it's available on Waypoint. It's available on Carbon. You can watch it Carbon TV. You can watch it on YouTube as well, season one.
Yeah.
And season two. Yeah, season two will be on all three of those platforms as well. And so if you've not seen it, go check it out. We would also encourage you to follow us if you don't already follow us on social media, Texas Trophy Hunters, both our Facebook page and our Instagram page, because we post stuff about the shows.
Absolutely.
And, little snippets.
Jump on and become a member. Yeah. Join the family.
Yeah, yeah. Join the family on social media. But also, absolutely, maybe you're not a member. Somebody's not a member of the Texas Trophy Hunters. We would encourage you to be a part of that. You get all kinds of great information. And so much to being part of the family that we want to encourage everybody to be, to join up and be part of the family. So
awesome.
Yeah. Heath, thanks for taking some time today, man. We, like I said, last month was busy, but we're back. Storytellers is out, and we'll get back into our regular scheduled podcast now.
Here we are.
Thank you so much for listening to the Voice of Texas Hunting Podcast.
Hey, guys. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. If you're enjoying what you're hearing on the Voice of Texas Hunting Podcast, we would love for you to do us a favor. Jump on your podcast app and give us a review. Rate the podcast and share it with a friend. Not only that, if you're not already a member, we would love for you to visit ttha.com and sign up for a 1, 3, or 5-year membership. As a member, you'll get some great products, exclusive member discounts, and a ton of resources to help you in your hunting and outdoor experience. Thank you for listening to the Voice of Texas Hunting.